the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed the difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. A generation, what this chapter is about, is a generation of people that are hurtful. That's what this whole chapter is about here. A lot of hurtful things going on, terrible things. And it was what he was pointing out here is that among this generation of people, the leaders that God had sent, they weren't demonstrating the difference between what is right and what is wrong. The people were confused. They couldn't tell what was right, wrong, what's the best way to live, think, and so forth. Verse 27 says, her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey and shed blood and destroy souls and get dishonest gain. Rampant greed, selfishness all over the place in this generation. Verse 18, her prophets have debauched them that untempered mortar, seeing vanity and diving lies into them, divining lies into them, saying, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord has not spoken. What that's talking about there is kind of hard in the King James, but he's saying that they basically were giving people bad advice. They were giving false security. They were teaching things that gave people false security. They were denying their problems. They were giving out useless information. They were sharing things that wasn't going to help anybody. Verse 29, the people of the land have used oppression, exercised robbery, vexed the poor and needy. They have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. Now that word stranger there, in the original language, means alien or immigrant. They were taking advantage of people, is what this was saying here. And they were oppressing the most people with the most need, putting a lot of burden on them. And they were being unkind to the immigrants among them. And God was basically saying this was a wicked generation, hurtful generation, terrible generation. Before I go on any further, I want us to talk about this morning the need. We need someone to fill in the gap for people. Okay? And then I want to talk about why don't we do that? And then I want to talk about how can we do that? Because all of us want someone, if not ourselves, to fill in the gap for people we love, right? Verse 30 and 31 says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge, stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Isn't that profane? Just that is just such a profound statement to me. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with my fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompense upon their heads, saith the Lord. Now, I want you to understand what he's saying there in the original language. The word hedge is very interesting because it means he was looking for someone that will entirely encircle a position that's being defended. He was looking for someone to defend this generation or these people. And the word stand in the gap means to fill that space. It means talking about occupy. He's looking for someone who will encircle this generation of people that were hurting and being hurt. And he was looking for someone to fill in that gap for him, to be a vessel for him, and to defend it. And then a lot of times we think that, well, we look at God as being, well, he's going to punish people for their evil ways. But I want you to understand what he was saying in the original language here is that even though this generation was hurtful, people were hurting people, it said, yet God was searching for someone to stand in that gap for him so he could work through them to defend that those hurtful people. From what? From themselves. Because the word recompense is talking about that he was going to step back and let their ways, the results or their consequences of their ways, to come fully upon them. Amen. See, lots of times we blame God for things when really it's our own way of thinking, our own attitude, our own thoughts, our own doing things is actually what we're experiencing as a consequence. And what God did was say, fine, if you want to live your way, I will step back and I'll let you. But you're also got to pay, there's consequences for that. Amen. When you're hurtful, you're going to be hurt. But he was trying to prevent that. This story that I'm shared with you today is about a rescue attempt. He was trying to rescue this generation. Because he loved them so much, in spite of how hurtful they were, he still was trying to find someone. But in this generation, he found no one. Is that going to be the case in this generation? We are living in a pretty hurtful time. But I thought about this, and this is not an attitude that we relate to as a human being, because most of our attitude as a human is, hey, if a person is bad, they get what they deserve. They deserve it. That's what they get. That's our attitude. Unless we always have a but. Unless it's someone we love or someone we care about, then all of a sudden we want mercy and grace upon that person. But what we forget, or we don't stop and think about, is for all 8 billion people alive on the face of the earth today, all of them are God, are his children. He loves all of us. Just like if you have multiple children, you love them all. But just like a parent, at some point you have to deal with an unruly child who's hurting the other siblings. You can't just let them stab, beat, hurt the other kids. You got to put a stop to it. Amen. Even though you love them. At some point you have to deal with them. So does God. See, God has the answers to help us. But he needs us to be a part of that answer by allowing ourselves to be a vessel that he can work through. The Bible says that we were created to do what? We were created to do something for him, to let him flow through us, to be his eyes, his hands, and his arms. It says, doesn't the Bible say we are the body of Christ? What is the body? Well, it's the fingers, it's the hands, it's the arms, it's the legs, it's the feet, it's the eyes. It's all of it. We are supposed to represent God on the earth to everyone, all of creation. But there are gaps in our lives. That's what he was talking about. The theme of this was gaps. What are gaps? There are places emotionally, mentally, and spiritually in our lives that are missing Christ. Because what is a gap? It's an empty space. We get hungry and we need sustenance for our bodies, right? But what do? We fill them with empty calories. We will go and eat potato chips instead of a vegetable plate. We'll drink a soda instead of water. We will hope a good relationship will fall into our lap instead of building one. We fill these gaps. We try to do it ourselves. Like, we lack understanding, and we will fill it with fragmented information. And the rest of the, and whatever is missing, we'll create conspiracy theories to fill it up. We have perceptions, and we will fill those perceptions with whatever fits, distorted or not. We have a gap of self-esteem, and instead of filling it with what it should be filled with, we'll manufacture something to give us a temporary boost of esteem. Instead of, we have a gap of security, so instead of going to God to be secure, we'll just get defensive. Loneliness. We'll fill it with unvetted relationships. I remember when I was a child, somebody goes, did you have a best friend as a child? I had a frenemy. And they're like, what's that? Well, sometimes a friend, sometimes an enemy, but that's all I had. So from my perspective, beggars can't be choosers, my mom used to say. I took what I could get. That's what I thought at that time. We lack value, so we will go look for false things to make us feel valuable. We have a gap of unity, and we end up, and we're so goofy, we'll fill it up with more division. That's gaps I'm talking about. So why don't we do something about these gaps in ourselves, in others? Well, there's a reason why we don't do anything about it, why we don't defend people in our minds, or why we're not protective of people in our minds, in our hearts. We don't stand in that gap in our hearts with God's people and people around us because we perceive everybody as a criminal. Let's be honest. We think everybody is a criminal, offender. You like, Joe, Pastor, how would I know if I'm doing that? Well, it's really simple. Do people agitate you? Do they distress you? Do they disturb you? They get on your nerves? There's their personality quirks annoying? Are their responses bother you? Does their mistakes irritate you? Well, you're perceiving them as an offender, a criminal. So you can't fill in that gap. You can't, your heart can't be there for people. Not even the people you love. Because in the end, we really want to be there for those we love, but we ruin that relationship more than any other relationships. We're self-centered. It plays a big role in this. Most of us have an attitude of protect me and my own. I have heard with my own ears a lot of churches say, God, family, and then everything else. I can't find no scripture that says that. All I found in scripture says God, period. That's it. Amen. There is no second, third, and fourth, fifth. He said, I don't want anybody competing with that. It's just God. And then whomever God tells me to minister to, that's who I minister to. It might be my family. It might not be. But our human attitude is protect me and my own first. But what does the Bible say? How many times do we not go to the Bible? Well, in Matthew 12, 48 and 50, what did Jesus say? He's the founder of our faith, is he not? It says here, who is my father, who are my brothers and sisters? He says, he stretches out his hand to his body that he had at that time. And he stretched out to his disciples, says, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of the Father in heaven is my brother and my sister, my mother and my father. Amen. Galatians 3:28. Paul said, there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, for you are all one in the body of Christ. Amen. It's all, every human being, listen to me, every human being is someone's husband, someone's wife, someone's sister, someone's brother, someone's daughter. How can we have an attitude of me and my own? That is not of God. That's of Satan. We are all of us, the human race. This human race, this is a story about all of us. And every one of us is a victim. We have offended, but we've also been, we are also victims. When it comes to someone that we care very much about, we really want to fill in those gaps and defend them and protect them, don't we? But when we are not capable of it because we want them to be successful, we pray in our hearts deep down, God, send someone. Please, Lord. Filling in those gaps is not about having the perfect doctrine, or I should say perceived doctrine. All of us can relate. I don't care what you believe, what denomination you're at. We all suffer, hurt, and we experience pain. Most of us, human beings, we just want to stop hurting, and we want to stop hurting other people. All the philosophies, religions, governments, and sciences, they don't have the answer, because if they did, the world would be a better place already. Amen. Now, I've had some people say, Pastor, well, I'll tell you what, Christianity is in a mess too. Yes, I agree. Christianity is in a mess also. It's not because God's ways don't work. It's because there is too much of the world in us. We have, as Christians, we have competing ideas going on within us. We have the world fighting for domination within our thinking and our hearts, and God's ways can't get quite the foothold that it really needs. We know this is true, people, Christians of God. The Bible says, Luke 11 and 17, a house divided against itself falls. It cannot stand. Things people don't like about Christianity, I don't either. But it's not God's ways that I don't like. It's the lack of it that I don't like. Amen. I have found that if you will follow all the steps that God has given you on your journey, then you'll be more Christ-like. Then you'll be successful. But if you skip steps, it's not going to work for you. I don't care how many times you try. It's not going to work. We've got to follow all the steps. When things are going right in your life, sit down for a little bit. Think about, okay, what am I skipping? What is it that I'm not following in God? There must be something. Or I wouldn't be going struggling like this in my attitude and my behavior. There must be some thought that I'm hanging on to that's not Christ's. We don't do that. Gaps. There are spaces in our lives where Christ is absent. Now, these gaps were created within us and others. It's not happenstance that they're there. Someone put them there in your life, in my life. So I'm asking you this morning to ask yourself this. Are you filling those gaps, or are you creating them in people's lives? Your words have the power of life and death. Your words are filling a gap, or they're emptying it, creating one. Proverbs 18 and 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Ask yourself this morning, which are you doing? Filling in the potholes in people's lives, or are you making them bigger? Now, how can we do what I said this morning? And, you know, I know that everybody here can think of someone they care about. I want you to also think about someone outside of just your family, but also a friend, maybe a coworker that you care a lot about. How can we defend them in our heart? How can we fill in the gap of Christ in their lives to be a well of living water to them? I can get you pointed in that direction. Proverbs 3 and 26. The first thing we can do is trust God and His truth that's in His word. Proverbs 3 and 6 says, in all of your ways. Now, emphasis on all of your ways. Acknowledge him. And then he shall direct your paths, is what he's saying there. He can't direct our paths, plural, if you're not doing, you're not seeking his advice or applying his teaching through all of your thoughts and your feelings and your attitudes. What I'm saying is commit yourself to trust God, God's ways, or to put a trust in God's ways. Make a decision step by step. A commitment is kept one decision at a time. I thought about that. That principle is true for all things. Whatever you put your hand to in this life, whether it be health, eating right, working out, whatever, is to deal with your attitude, deal with something you don't like about yourself, whatever it is, you make a commitment to change, it is kept by one decision at a time. A marriage stays together one commitment at a time. It's not just about the marriage vows that you took once. It's getting up every day and making that commitment to those vows the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, or you will not stay married. How do you think people get divorces? They stop keeping the commitment. At some point, they decided no more. I'm not going to keep that commitment. Be willing to learn. Proverbs 1 and 5. A wise person will hear, and because they hear, I'm adding the word because, they'll increase in learning. And a person of understanding will attain wise counsel. See, life is complex. You and I, we're complex. Let's be honest about it. But we need to be open to receive feedback from wherever God decides to bring it. It might be through a person. It might be through just you becoming aware of something on your own. It might be through a sermon. It might be through reading the word. It might be through whatever. But if you're not open, you're not willing to hear it, God cannot help you. I have learned this. I used to have an attitude where only certain people could teach me. And then I wondered why it took me so long to learn. Because I limited all of God's possibilities of helping me. When I opened up to that, stopped worrying about how it's delivered, I started changing quicker. And there's more avenues for God to help me to change. Because life is complex. I am complex. What else? Well, you have to deny yourself. Luke 9 and 23. Luke 9 and 23 says, then he said unto them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You notice how he said that daily? What is it within me that I need to deny? Well, my emotional, my mental, and sometimes my physical comfort. I have to remind myself of this. Most of the time, it's our mental and emotional comfort that rouses us up. Sometimes physical, but it's mostly emotional, mental, like you don't like a certain song, or you just think someone talks too much, or you think someone doesn't talk enough, or whatever, you know, it can go back and forth, you know. Sometimes if you're talking to a man, he thinks the women talk too much. And then they talk to a woman, and they think, man, he never says anything. It's back and forth, right? It depends on who you're talking to. But it's a discomfort that we're really struggling with. And for you to be capable of helping those you care about, we have got to be willing to be uncomfortable emotionally, mentally, physically sometimes. It means you might be tired. Maybe you have to... You feel grumpy, but you restrain that grumpiness and put on a smile. Maybe it's a sacrifice of smile. You know, That's your praise to God, sacrifice of praise. Praise the Lord Jesus. I want to kill him. But I want to be capable of filling in those gaps where Christ is needed in someone's life so that person could be successful. Because when in the body of Christ, when others are successful, you are successful. Because why? Because in the body of Christ that you have attached yourself to, they have a measure of Christ you do not have, you need. Amen. Allowing and enduring God's transformation within you, you can become your best. What else can we do? Well, be willing to be uncomfortable for others. This is slightly different. 1 Corinthians 9 and 22. Paul says, to the weak, I become as weak, that I may win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I may be might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you. Part of helping people sometimes involves exposure to a person's hurt. So God can heal that person. We have to be willing to expose ourselves to people. Let them hurt us sometimes. Be a sponge to clean up that mess. And then fill it up with Christ. Amen. You know, that's in his people. They're hurting, they're suffering. You don't have to make this happen. You know, God will do that for you. This process is not always received from others with thankfulness and appreciation. So if you're in this, if for thankfulness and appreciation, you're going to be very, very disappointed. People are not always, when their flaws are exposed, they're not always thankful or appreciative of you in the moment. Now, if they continue on the path, journey of Christ, someday they will be, but they may not be right in that moment, and you must learn to be okay with that, because we're just vessels, you know. We can't control the result anyway. I can't make it happen. Only God can. People, you got to remind yourself, people only give what they have, which is usually hurt, and the Christ responder gets the brunt of it. Just like a first responder deals with the hurt, a person that's been hurt, when a person gets stabbed, cut, injured in some way, they can be angry. They wrestle with the first responder, or they lash out because they're in a lot of pain when they're trying to apply the first aid. This happens a lot to first responders. But if you're a Christ responder, you might experience the same thing. Amen. People might lash out. They might get angry with you. They might wrestle with you and their emotions and things. But just remember what you're doing. Do you think, I'm yet to see a first responder get too upset about that. They kind of expect it. Because a person is in so much pain. Sometimes the pain is so intense, they're confused on what's happening to them. They don't realize that the first responder may cause pain in the temporary moment because he's helping, you know, bandage them up. But all that person understands is this: you're hurting me now. See, this, as a Christ responder, that's what you're going to experience sometimes. Just weather through it until that person gets sent to God can do the healing. That said, God is looking for someone who is willing to be a Christ responder. 1 Corinthians 1 and 28. 1 Corinthians 1 and 28 through 29. The base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. The things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Throughout history, it's the nobodies are the people who made the biggest impact. And also keep in mind, it only takes a spark to burn down a huge forest. That's all it takes. So when you're thinking about where you're at today, maybe you don't feel really good about yourself. Maybe you think you don't have a lot to offer. But I want you to understand, you, wherever you're at, you're one step in front of someone else. Amen. Who needs to take that same step, possibly. You can at least help them up to where you're at. And then God can take it from there. People, God is looking, every generation, God is looking for someone to stand in that gap and be him on earth, be a presence on earth. We made a choice to allow sin to come into our world. We also have to be a part of the answer to get it out. Thank you for being with us here. We hope you will meet us, be with us next week at 11 a.m., and I hope you're having a wonderful holidays. God bless you.